Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You do anything with your feet?
Position them? I don't know at the time. I'm a fairly wide guy.
I understand. I tend
to spread my legs when I lower my pants so they won't slide.
Okay.
Did I slide them too close to yours? I looked down once, your foot was close to mine.
Yes.
Did we bump? You said so. I don't recall that, but apparently we were close.
Yeah. Well, your foot did touch mine on my side of the stall.
All right.
Okay. And then with the hand, how many times did you put your hand into the stall?
I don't recall. I remember reaching down once. There was a piece of toilet paper back behind me picking it up.
Oh, God. Now, it's not so much that Larry Craig may or may not have been entrapped. He may or may not be guilty. I mean, in either case, it's truly his business, to be honest with you. But the man has no judgment. That's what worries me. If he can be so easily gulled and seduced into pleading guilty by a dumb officer like this, how are we going to defend ourselves against the Islamo-fascists who have been at war for thousands of years, and they make mincemeat out of these people? The whole Republican Party seems to be filled with maybe two or three guys, five people top, who have any street smarts. Larry Craig is not amongst them. And now, of course, the potato jokes are starting. What's the difference between a procrastinator and Larry Craig? One stalls for time and the other has time for stalls. Stuff like that. What's the similarity between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? They both give you the eye. What's the similarity between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? They can both be baked easily. You know, you've heard this. What's the similarity between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? When peeled and blanched, they're easily fried. What's the difference between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? One is a masher and the other is easily mashed. I mean, you know, you get the picture. You know, and if you want to go to the old potato jokes, you can work them in here. You know, when you get the picture. Do you want me to talk about this? You want to do potato jokes? Or shall I talk about the ethnobotany of a potato? Many of you don't even know where the potato comes from. You think it comes from Ireland. It didn't. This is a genuine importation from our friends to the south, from Peru and Chile. The ancient ruins of Peru and Chile have shown remains that date back to 500 BC. The Incas grew and ate potatoes. They also worshipped potatoes. Now, let's not go to Senator Larry Craig here. They even buried potatoes with their dead. They stashed potatoes in concealed bins for use in case of war or famine. The ancients in Incas dried them, carried them on long journeys to eat on the way, dried or soaked in stew. So many of you don't know that the potato came from there. And they were introduced to Europe by the Spanish, 1540, that's the 16th century AD. The first Europeans to see the potato was Pedro de Cieza de León, a Spanish conquistador and historian who wrote about the potato in his Chronicles of Peru in 1540. And then, of course, later on, Spanish explorers brought the potato to Spain. That was the conqueror Gonzalo Jiménez de Quesada. He took the potato to Spain in lieu of the gold he did not find. Did you know? I mean, this is interesting stuff. I mean, you know, it's lost to history. Most of us don't study this, but there were phenomenal food, rich in vitamin C. And, of course, you know, the Irish lived on them, the Irish peasants, and then the potato famine hit. It was called the Great Famine or the Great Starvation in Ireland, and it was caused because the potato crop became diseased, I believe, by a virus. At the height of the famine, the Irish potato famine in 1845, at least 1 million Irish died of starvation. They didn't sue anybody. They did not cry. They didn't talk about Katrina. They didn't say somebody poisoned the potato. The famine left many poverty-stricken families with no choice but to scratch out for survival or emigrate out of Ireland. Whole towns became deserted in Ireland, and all the best shops closed because store owners were forced to emigrate due to the amount of unemployment in Ireland. And then over 1.5 million Irish leave for North America and Australia. Over just a few years, because of this one crop, the potato, the population of Ireland drops by one half from 9 million to little more than 4 million. No one was sued. No one complained. No one turned to the government for help. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about Larry Craig, Idaho potatoes, and the history or the ethnobotany of the potato. And I don't know where to go from here. I mean, what do you want me to do now? You want to just keep doing Larry Craig jokes and laughing and guffawing? You know, leave that for the morons on television, because I'm not going to do it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Suddenly the traffic's way up again. I really don't know why, but we have a great interview today. We have an update for you on the Marine, the Haditha Marine court-martial, the fake court-martial. We have another interview. We have just very good interviews for the show today that'll be mixed in with everything else. And if you'd like to talk about Craig, go ahead. Be my guest. You want to talk about a potato? Talk about a potato. You know, the Russians didn't like the potato in the beginning. Did you know that? In 1774, the Russian peasants refused to have anything to do with the potato until the mid-1700s. Frederick the Great sent free potatoes to the starving Russian peasants after the famine of 74, but they refused to touch them until soldiers were sent to force them to eat the potato. That's all. In other words, even in a potato, there's history. Do you understand that? Even in a potato, there's history, there's politics, there's anthropology, there's science. It's astounding to me that if you apply your mind to virtually anything, you can see the world, even in a potato. Houston, Texas. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Welcome. What's on your mind?
First of all, I'm disgusted at the lack of outrage by the conservatives regarding Craig, but as a former prosecutor, I can prove to you that he's lying. Number one.
Now, hold on. Whoa, sir. Who?
Craig, Larry Craig, the senator.
No, but what, what former prosecutor is lying?
No, I used to be a prosecutor, and I can prove that he's lying.
Okay, go ahead. I'm open. Go ahead.
So imagine that you put your pants down to your ankles. First of all, you can't spread your legs to go into another man's stall. So if he really spread his legs, that means he had to have been sitting on a dirty public toilet in his very expensive pants with his pants pulled up.
But, Tom, as a former prosecutor, do you think this kind of crime is worthy of prosecution?
I think you would even agree that that's not the question. The question is,
I'm asking you, it is a question. With the problems we have, should this nation's consciousness be invested in Larry Craig's bathroom tactics?
I would say enforcement of that stuff in the restroom is very important, because I have a boy 9 and a boy 6 years old.
All right. No, okay, well, we agree on that. Then how come in San Francisco, homosexuals rendezvous wherever they may please, the parks, bathrooms, in the street, wherever they want? How come they're not prosecuted in this sick city?
Well, I'm just gonna copy you. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That's why.
All right. Well, now we're friends. Yeah. Okay. Then now we can go on. At least we see eye to eye. And I'm not using the eye as an analogy because of the potato. I agree that they have to be reined in because they're out of control. I agree with you. This cruising behavior is sickening. The perversion is sickening. If anyone had ever even suggested that to my son when he was young, I probably would have killed him and been in jail. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, but the other thing is, what senator claims to want to go into a public bathroom to pick up dirty paper off the floor?
Well, that struck me as odd. He said he reached down and touched toilet paper. That was like, no, please. Nobody would do that. I mean, I don't even think Barney Frank would do that.
But he couldn't produce the paper. In other words, how do you reach down and miss?
Well, hold it, Tom. As a former prosecutor, let's strip this of all of the comedic elements. Don't you think Craig is an idiot for having even talked to this cop instead of asking for an attorney?
Yes, but I also think the cop was an idiot for making his comments on the tape as well.
Tell me why, Tom.
I think because a defense attorney could say, oh, look, the officer even expressed disgust with the way the guy didn't happen to agree with him. Just because a defendant doesn't agree with the cop doesn't give the cop a right to lecture the guy on, wow, I'm really disappointed in you. So I,
well, wait a minute. Wait, how does that alter the case? Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. Why would Craig have pled guilty? That's the part I don't understand. Couldn't he have just dummied up and said, I want my lawyer. This is absurd. I want my lawyer. This is ridiculous. I'm being set up. Why didn't he do that? He's a U.S. senator, for God's sakes.
I would say that the lack of logic behind how he dealt with it afterwards is consistent with his lack of logic in being able to discipline his morality.
Well, that's all true, and it also indicates he's not fit to be a U.S. senator. Irrespective of the act, the mere fact that the man didn't have the smarts to handle this more intelligently worries me very much to consider he's one of 100 in our war against Islamofascism.
You know, forget everything else. You could say he is unfit for office based off his willingness to abuse his power to try to influence an investigation with his business card and his utter lack of common sense to think that he could plead guilty to a lewd and lascivious act.
And all right, but Dom, here's another question. Notice this has been held by the media for 3 months. It's released 2 days ago, the night before it's disclosed that Hillary Clinton took money from a convicted felon. Don't you think that they're coordinated releases to the media?
I agree with you just about every time, but not this one, because you even hear the cops say he's not going to release it. And I think to the cops' credibility, he didn't turn out to be some glory hound. He didn't go, I just think the lazy media finally had it thrown across their lap, probably by some clerk in the.
I don't know. To me, it seems like a very steep coincidence that just when Hillary is finally seen for who she really is, consorting with felons, here we go again. Remember all those 8 years of her and Bill and what they did? All of a sudden, it's overshadowed by the Idaho potato story.
Mike, keep preaching the gospel to Houston, Texas.
Oh, God bless you, man. Thank you. See, now that I consider that if I were to rate a call, rank a call between host and caller, that gets a 90, 92 in terms of interchange, interaction. Boys and girls in the radio university here of the Savage Nation. Now, I could go on. You want me to give you more history of the potato? Are there any Irish in the audience who have a story of the famine? You know, you think it's a joke? A million people die from starvation? How come the Irish don't run around screaming that they want reparations from the Peruvians for having given them a crop that wound up starving them 1,500 years later? They could have sued the Peruvians, couldn't they? There's plenty of silver and gold down there. They could start screaming about reparations from Chile and Peru for having sold them a raw bill of goods. See, certain individuals and certain peoples just pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and move on. And they do very well indeed. That's the way it is in life. Every human race, every human people, every human society has had tragedy foisted upon them, or has stumbled into tragedy. And most have gone on. And yet there are some who consist of complainers and bellyachers and continually demand that somebody pay for their problems. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, if you want to have your heart broken and you want to be sick, I'm going to point you to an article and a picture on the top of michaelsavage.com. It's enough to wrench the strongest man's heart. It is a picture of dead gorillas in the wonderful continent of Africa. As you well know, Africa is superior to America in every way, including in the way they treat animals because they're so sensitive to everyone. Take a look at that picture. If you don't feel something break inside you and you don't feel a desire to murder somebody for having done this to this gorilla family, you're not a whole person. There's a big, beautiful silverback gorilla tied to a wood, hands and feet tied, his wife, the girl gorilla, the wife, and the children dead. Of the 380 mountain gorillas left in the whole world, more than half of the world's population lives in this national park, killed by gunmen last month, tied to wood. And there are the happy little locals dancing around the gorillas, smiling on the carts. And, of course, the liberals will tell you that This is a local decision. They want the gorillas gone so they can use the forest to fuel a booming trade in charcoal. And it's every, we have no right to tamper. We have no right to tamper with African ways. And if they want to kill gorillas, it's their gorillas. We have no right to put a white man's view of things on them. They want to kill the gorillas for charcoal. That's their business. After all, it's their volcanic area, not ours. And those messy gorillas are in their way of the charcoal trade. And we have no right sending troops in or sending any kind of nasty conservationists there. Isn't that the liberal way? To look the other way at real crimes? Look the other way at what's going on in Darfur and attack Michael Savage in San Francisco instead of condemning the Arabs in Darfur for killing black African women who are Christians? They condemn Michael Savage? You know something? I looked up the names of the people who did this to me, and I'm not going to let this go. We're going to post this soon on my website. Some of them go to church on Sunday and have the wafer put in their mouth. They curtsy to the priest, and they think they're good Catholics. And yet they condemn a man like me, and they salute Hugo Chavez. They condemn the Boy Scouts, they condemn the Boy Scouts. They condemn Michael Savage. They condemn Catholic Charities. They condemned, I can give you the list of the people condemned by these good Catholics in San Francisco who get on their knees and genuflect before the priest and take the wafer. Who do they think they're fooling? They owe me a written apology, and I'm never going to let this go until I get one. They are not good people. They are evil. In fact, they are the epitome. They represent evil. The supervisors in San Francisco who did this to me and have tried to destroy my reputation, they are the definition of what evil is in our time. Do you understand that? What do you think? Evil means a concentration camp? That's an easy one. We all know the concentration camp is evil. But you know what evil is in everyday life? Evil is, you know what evil is? Pledging false witness against your neighbor. So when Alioto Pier or Anthony Peskin, whatever their names are, when that pack of criminals, in my opinion, do this to a good man like me, they're trying to destroy my name. That's evil. And no amount of confession in a church booth or in a synagogue is going to wipe that evil from their soul.
Savage.
So think about what a touch of evil really is. You know, some of your neighbors may look like nice people, they act like nice people, they're polite, and yet they could be evil. Now, what is evil? Well, evil comes in many forms. Evil is condemning an innocent man for political reasons, saying, it's nothing personal. We just wanted the Latino vote. So, I'm sorry, Michael Savage, we have to condemn you. We don't really hate you. But you see, we have to swing the Hispanics towards us, so we're going to make you look like Hitler. That's what we'll do. We know it's sarcasm. We're educated white people. We went to college, Marymount, and we went to good Catholic schools, but we'll condemn you anyway. And then we'll take the wafer on Sunday, and by Monday it'll all be gone. I mean, that's how we learned as children at the knee. Do anybody you want on Saturday, make up for it on Sunday, and on Monday do the next one. Same with the synagogue. That's the purpose, of course. Well, it's to wash away evil. Do evil on Friday, wash it away Saturday, and do evil again on Sunday. This is wonderful. It's a wonderful system of what evil is. Dr. Freud, it's nothing personal, but we're going to dismiss you from the university, even though you've written 18 books, because we need to make room for someone more Germanic than yourself. It's nothing personal, but there's a thing going around against Jews, Dr. Freud, and although it's nothing personal and we don't have anything against Jews, we have to condemn you, Dr. Freud, because we have to win the German vote, and particularly the Nazi vote. You see how it works? That's a touch of evil. So the liberals in San Francisco are actually acting just like the neo-fascists did in Germany or the neo-fascists did in Italy. Only they're so confused, they actually think that they're good. I'm sure the Germans thought they were good when they went along with the party line. Not only did they think they're good, they were good. They knew they were good. So this is where it's coming from. Do you understand why I fought them and why I will never, ever, ever stop trying to get even with these people? And I will never let this go. I will not let this go until I either get a written letter of apology from every one of them, or one of them or more of them is arrested for consorting with Hugo Chavez. When the linkage is found between Chavez's government and money, and one or more of the supervisors in this rotten, stinking city, and they're taken away, the humiliation will be greater than that of Larry Craig in the toilet stall. Sacramento, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Let me know when you're ready for Savage's Million Men in Washington. I'll be there with you, my friend.
Well, I'm building up for it, Phil. I'm starting to boil. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't sleep. I said, wait a minute. These rats, these smiling rats who take the wafer, have the nerve to condemn me in the city through a charter, so through something they write, and think they're going to get away with it and that they smell good? I'm not going to let them besmirch my name. I'm better than all of them put together. What have they ever done for humanity, any one of them? What has that rotten, stinking, any twosome newsome ever done for humanity other than have a pepsin and smile? Tell me what any of those supervisors have ever given the world. Have they written one book that saved one person? No, my fingernail has better DNA than all of them put together, and I'm not going to let them besmirch my family name.
You have any idea how many people are praying for you? But listen, there's something about this Craig thing that nobody's really touched on, and this is, it seems like whether he's innocent or not, that cop was kind of able to legally blackmail him into a concession to get out of the heat. How many of our leaders are being persuaded to do things against our best interest to get out of some
I don't like entrapment arrests of any kind, by the way. I find them very distasteful. I have said the same thing about the NBC show To Catch a Predator. This is not that I like predators. I hate them. But I think that the host of the NBC To Catch a Predator is a bigger predator than all of them put together. And I think the president of NBC is a predator for running a show like that. And if you look at the person who created To Catch a Predator, you'll see he himself stinks to high heaven, according to those who've studied them. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, how do they write that stuff? I mean,
no, but this whole entrapment thing bothers me. I don't like cops who play decoys. They, you know, unless it's like a real serious, heavy-duty drug arrest or a terrorist arrest. I think it's all punk work, by the way. Thanks for the call. I don't know who's vulnerable. Well, you know, why Craig? I told you there's an interesting timing. There's interesting timing here. The Craig story breaks two nights ago. The next day they leak out that Hillary took money from a convicted felon who's on the lam. Now, why is this getting more play than that? Answer, because of vermin in the media. Thomas in Waco, Texas. Go ahead, please. Topic.
Yes, Senator Craig is a liar. When you touch somebody else's foot under the stall like that, it's common decency to say, I'm sorry if you didn't mean it. Can I make a comment about gay marriage?
Whatever you'd like.
I was abused when I was little, so I'm unfortunately a gay American. A proud American, however. If you go and let this happen, you're going to have people, freakish exhibitionists out in the front yard, in front of your...
Wait, hold on, Tom, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be respectful. If we let what happen?
Gay marriage.
Okay.
Just leave it. It's already on the books that they can protect each other in medical situations or in inheritance by being foster brothers or foster sisters. Leave it at that.
Well, I don't know that many homosexual or gay people who really care about marriage. I think it's only part of the super Marxist wing of the gay movement that wants it, and the useful idiots who go along with it, because we all understand it's an assault upon an already shaky institution. It's an attack upon the sacred family. It is a mockery of real marriage. There's no need for it.
It's an abomination.
Well, I won't go there. I won't use biblical terms. 1-800-449-8255. I keep repeating the phone number in like an autonomic manner. But the gorilla picture on the website got me so sick, I just started to shake. I don't know why they don't machine gun those people who kill these gorillas. There's something so noble about a mountain gorilla. Why do they let these people kill them and butcher them like that? And they were killed, by the way, by the gunmen, so-called, in Africa. It's awful. Just what the man's inhumanity to man is one thing, and it's horrible. You look at these pictures coming out of Iraq, you know, you watch the heartbreak of the Iraqi people as they're mourning their relatives, blown up by the maniacs. And you can't fathom. It's hard for us to fathom the pain of seeing families mangled by these bombs on a daily basis. And all I say to myself is, how does this go on after 5 years against the most powerful military on earth with no limit to the money? The answer is we have the biggest moron in the history of the world running the United States government. There's only one conclusion. George Bush is an incompetent moron, because if he can't get this job done after 5 years and unlimited amounts of money, then he's an idiot. And he doesn't belong in the job of commander-in-chief, which is why I was not invited to the White House and why the golfer was and Clawhammer was. Do you understand that? Anyway, I give up. I just give up. All I know is that if George Bush had been in office in 1940, we'd still be fighting World War II, and he'd be telling us the surge that he tried in 1955 almost worked, but we had to extend the presidency. He left for 8 years and gave it to Harry Clinton, but now he's back, and he's 103. And now it's 1985. We're going to try another surge against Germany. And if that surge doesn't work, we'll have a few more court-martials for the Marines, because they killed a few too many Germans, especially over there in Iwo Jima. They killed too many Japanese with the flamethrower. We're going to have court-martials against them to show how fair we are. And the war will go on for 100 years with this kind of incompetence. Merced, California. Bridget, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, how are you? I found
Good.
You a couple of months ago on the radio, and I've listened to you every day. I wanted
yes.
to mention about, I was very honored that you brought up about the Irish and the famine.
Right.
And how.
Well, very few people even know what the Irish famine was and what it did to the Irish people. They don't know that 1 million Irish died and then 1.5 million Irish emigrated here. And by the way, when the Irish got here, they were treated worse than any race that had ever been here before.
Correct.
It said Irish and dogs need not apply. You know that, don't you?
It's absolutely right, Dr. Savage. That is absolutely right.
So explain to me how the Irish rose up from such dire poverty to a middle class and higher status. I mean, the Kennedy family is Irish. How did they get there?
Family.
How did they get there? Did they beg anybody for the help or what?
Teen children, Dr. Savage. And we grew our own potatoes, cabbage, vegetables, and everything with 15 children, a poor, poor, poor family.
Yeah, but it made you strong. Apparently, a potato makes you strong as iron. The Irish are a strong people. It didn't hurt them.
God bless you. Absolutely. My mother raised us, out of 15 of us, to be very independent after.
15 children in one house. How old was the poor lady when she passed on?
My mother was almost 80 when she passed on. But
Iron Woman.
I'm honored, Dr. Savage, when you said about the Irish not taking hands out and not, going to others and suing. And I thought, Mother of God.
No, they didn't complain to the government. They didn't sue the Peruvian government for sending him a potato. Okay, thank you. That's okay. That's good. I still don't have the coffee. I'll collapse in a minute if I don't have it. Again, the machine in the studio. The complex machine, the Italian machine. You need to wear like what is this? Espresso? Okay, I'll do it. You need to wear a lead apron with this coffee machine, this Italian machine. Gorgeous, like a Ferrari. You hit the wrong button, your scrotum could get scalded. It squirts out of hot water right at your gut. I never saw anything like it. There's like 20 buttons in it, and the one that you're supposed to hit lights up. It's very user-friendly, but God forbid you should look the other way and hit the wrong button. You could come away with scrotal damage. I never saw anything like this. But, all right, it's worth it. Here it is. The assistant brought it. God, there's something so good about coffee. I don't know why it's so good. I'm having an espresso right now out of my famous machine. I'll be up till 5 in the morning, I can guarantee you. I feel like I have a new lease on life. I feel like I was just reborn. I swear to you, after these two tests this week, The CT scan and the other one. Look, anything could happen tomorrow. You know, I could say, look, he said his arteries were clear and he dropped dead. I know it happens. I know that. I know well enough from the medical days when I had a professor who said he's done many autopsies where people had heart attacks with perfectly clear arteries. I know that, too. Trust me. There's a lot of mystery in medicine, in illness and healing. We all know that, too. So you have to pray a lot. That's all. And you also have to get angry, too, when someone tries to step on you. And somebody tries to besmirch your family name when you've done so much good in the world, you got to fight them, and you got to take them on, every last one of them, because if you know you're right and you know they're wrong, fight them and fight them and fight them until you prove you're right. Biloxi, I don't know if I want to talk about that. What do you want to talk about here? Bathroom stall? All right, let's do the bathroom stall. No, let's not. Let's do Catholics in San Francisco. Chris in Michigan, Chris, welcome. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to apologize on behalf of the Catholic community of San Francisco and around the country. I listen to you in Michigan, and it was totally unacceptable that a priest and a church would sponsor that mob outside of your radio station last week or 2 weeks ago.
Well, it wasn't the priest. And remember, the very same supervisors who condemned me or tried to condemn me have also condemned the Boy Scouts. They've condemned a lot of very good people. And in so doing, I think they've damned themselves. But the part that bothers me is that they walk around with such a sense of self-righteousness when I know that they are the embodiment of evil. They are the embodiment of evil, you know, which is do not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's what they did to me. They bore false witness against their neighbor. I'm their neighbor. They may not like what I said, but only one of them had the decency to say, I may not approve of what Dr. Savage said, but he has the right to say it because of the First Amendment. I can't imagine how these people were raised, nor by whom. I haven't any idea what kind of mind would produce people like this. Thank you, Chris. I know that the Catholic people themselves pray for me, the good ones, the ones out of San Francisco. And there's a few who light candles for me in this city. But by and large, man, this is a very mean city and very anti-Semitic, by the way. There's a high degree of anti-Semitism in this city, just below the surface, incidentally. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you. My subject is this Murtha character in Pennsylvania. Everything
yes, sir.
Starts from the city level and works its way up into the House and Senate, and you know as well as I knew that we need to vote these people out and get rid of them. But
well, Murtha is pure evil, in my opinion. You know, the supervisors aren't smart enough or powerful enough to be really evil. Murtha is powerful enough to be truly evil, and he's truly evil. For him to have called our troops Nazis and murderers and having had it lead to the court martials that these poor guys are going through is evil, and he deserves to be arrested and tried for treason, in my opinion.
Dr. Savage, I couldn't agree with you more.
Hold on. Let me ask you something. Ed, you know I've been on this for over 6 months, and you know that I did fundraising for Colonel Cesani. I gave $20,000 of my own dollars, and the people listening to the show, I think now it's over $300,000. And I think that Colonel Jeffrey Cesani is going to be freed because he never did anything wrong. And then they're going to sue Murtha at that point. At that point, you're going to hear a lot more about it on this show, Ed.
Dr. Savage, we need to get rid of somebody like this. Like I said, I'm a retired Marine. This guy's no good for the country. He's no good for Pennsylvania. And
I agree. But how do you feel as a former Marine? Well, there's no such thing as a former Marine. How do you feel as a Marine seeing a man who wore the Marine uniform doing this to fellows who are in the combat zone?
I did it for 21 years, Dr. Savage. And let me tell you, if he was a lieutenant in my squad, he would get the buttock shot, and you know what a shot in the buttocks is. That's the worst place you can get hit with.
Well, what kind of man is this? I don't know much about his background. They claim he was some kind of, he gave himself medals or got medals. Was he actually in combat, Murtha? Does anyone know?
I think he was. I think he was in Vietnam or Korea, but he didn't have a good platoon sergeant like me, to make sure about that.
I'll tell you, you could run my platoon any day, Ed. Let me send you a free copy of The Political Zoo, Ed. Stay on. You know, we're coming into the Labor Day weekend, and the things are slow. I know that. Many people are on vacation. They're not political. They don't care. I don't blame you. Normal people are probably, hiking, golfing, swimming, snorkeling, whatever people do. I was once normal. I did those things. But now I'm not. I'm not normal. I'm a talk radio host or a commentator. I call myself really, you know what I really am is talk radio talk. I'm a radio commentator when you think about it. They've tried to besmirch talk radio. I think talk radio, shock jock. They wouldn't know what a shock jock is from a jockey. Let's put it to you that way. A shock jock is a Howard Stern. That's a shock jock. Michael Savage is a radio commentator. If I've published 25 books, four of which have been bestsellers in a row, and I won the Freedom of Speech Award by the industry itself, I would say that those who try to besmirch me are those who are more easily besmirched. And I am just boiling inside. Now, tomorrow, I'm not telling you who I'm going to dinner with tomorrow night. I'll tell you about it next week. I'll be right back.
Savage.
gay. I don't do these kind of things, and that doesn't matter. I don't care about sexual preference or anything like that. Here's your stuff. That's yours. I don't care about sexual preference.
I know you don't.
We're out to enforce the law.
Right.
But you shouldn't be out to entrap people either. This isn't entrapment.
All right.
Well, we've heard enough of this. See, I would rather hear a hidden conversation between Hillary Clinton and the magical donor, who the fugitive in plain sight, Mr. Sue. That would be a nice tape to hear, wouldn't you think so? All right, what do you got in that bag? Well, what's in that bag? $50,000? What do you think? It's chicken feed? What do you think? I work for $50,000? Next time you come back here, you cockamamie lunatic, you better make it 10 times that, or you're not getting through the front door. You understand that? And when you go back to Beijing, you tell them that. We take no less than $500,000, okay? Now get out of here. See, that's the kind of sound I'd like to hear on tape. That's what should be played now. But I don't think that's on tape because obviously it didn't happen. This is pure fiction. This is simply talk radio, and, you know, we invent everything. The people you rely upon are men like Al Gore, who invents the global warming psychosis and panics an entire generation into thinking that the world is coming to an end. Even though his family made its fortune in the coal business and such, now you believe him, he's working the other side. So we can talk about these or other topics in the next hour. I have such good interviews, you have no idea. And you could go on michaelsavage.com and have your heart broken with the gorilla picture. Yes, I want you to see it. I give to the Gorilla Fund. I never talk about it. It's one of the things I give to. I have a soft spot for elephants, gorillas, and Boy Scouts. I don't know how they connect, but to me, they're all endangered species. And to me, there's a connection between those who would kill gorillas and those who would kill the truth.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We are talking about Idaho potatoes, Larry Craig. We're talking about stalls. We're talking about a government that is stalling us. We are talking about George Bush being the worst president in history, the worst commander-in-chief in the history of the U.S. military, a man who's running America over not only with illegal aliens, but now with trucks from Mexico coming in without any registration, without any licensure. It's astounding what this man gets away with and how people still support him. But, of course, his own team is abandoning him. You know, you talk about throwing people overboard. I think they're jumping ship and they're swimming ashore, is my opinion. I don't think they're being thrown overboard. I don't think Karl Rove was thrown overboard as much as he jumped off the ship and swam away because the ship is sinking. Portland, Maine. David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to apologize because I'm a second-time caller, and the first time I ridiculed you and said that you didn't know what you were talking about, and evidently you do because I see it with my own eyes.
But tell me what the subject is that we are, you know, discussing. Which topic?
Talking about Bush.
Okay, so how long ago did you call thinking he was still doing the right thing?
It had to be about 5-6 months ago.
All right, and what is it that changed in these months?
What he did for the soldiers that have not gotten freed yet, have not been pardoned.
These Marines who have been persecuted falsely, that he didn't step in as a commander-in-chief and say, enough is enough, this is false, I want this over with? He could have done that, couldn't he?
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah. I'm not a military man, but I know what's right and I know what's wrong. These men are... were being treated like cannon fodder because Bush wants a PC war. And he went along basically with the Democrats attacking them. You know, but that's not the least, but that's one of the things the man is doing. But what about all these years in Iraq that he won't win this war? We have the power to win the war, David. He won't win it.
Exactly. But the thing is these guys are innocent. Okay, they were just doing their job. Okay, it's plain.
I know. I gave $20,000 to the defense of Lieutenant Chassani. That's more than most people in the radio business have done. I mean, admit it's not a fortune, but it's something, isn't it?
Exactly. Oh, I totally believe in you, Michael. And the thing I think with this Senator Craig thing and this Hillary Clinton is wag the dog. And I'm sure.
What do you mean? What do you mean that they're using Craig to cover up Hillary's scandal?
Definitely.
Well, that's what I say. That's how it looks like to me. They had the Craig thing for 4 months, and suddenly they release it on the eve of the Hillary fugitive money being released. To me, it's absolutely coincidental. No, it's absolutely planned that Craig was slammed right now.
I understand, Michael.
That, by the way, that is not to say that if Craig did this, I approve of it. But why all of a sudden was this released on the eve? It stinks to high heaven that Hillary and other Democrats have been forced to forfeit campaign contributions from Mr. Hsu. And the man is a fugitive on the lam. And by the way, the assistant attorney general who's pursuing him is not a Republican. He's a Democrat. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, very few people know this. But Ronald Smetana, who handled the case for the state attorney general, said that he is a fugitive. And this man is a Democrat. He is not a Republican.
That is totally right.
There are many elements to this that haven't been released yet to the general public. But why would you suppose that this man, Mr. Hsu, and his associates have given money to Dianne Feinstein, Edward Kennedy, Barack Obama, Joseph Biden, etc.? Why? Who is this man?
Exactly. And the thing is all of a sudden we get this, okay, so that we can forget about what Hillary did.
That's what I think.
Crazy.
To me, it looks like one and the same story. I mean, one story covering up on other. But, David, you don't have to apologize to me. Many people want to believe in a president. Many people want to believe in a party. Many people are reluctant to criticize a sitting president at any time, but especially during a time of war. So it's not like I expected everyone to believe that my viewpoint was correct. But this man continues to amaze me in terms of well, I've said enough. There's no point in using any more words about this. Let me send you a free copy of the Freedom of Speech Award. It's the best thing I can send you. You don't have to apologize to me. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com, website with heartbreaking picture of gorilla. See it and weep. If you're an animal lover and you look at this picture, you're going to become livid with rage. Most of you animal lovers are left-wing zealots who have almost no compassion for human beings, but you have compassion for animals because there's something in you that is broken where you can love animals, but you can't love humans. I understand that. I'm not like that, but I understand the illness. And it's good that you have compassion for animals, even though you don't have it for humans, because it is a road back to sanity. Once you understand that we are like the gorilla, and that you see the gorilla laid out like that with his family, with the silverback gorilla and the women gorilla and the babies slaughtered by those animals over there. And you think of the Iraqis killing each other, mutilating each other. You think of the Arabs killing the black Africans, the Christian black Africans in Darfur. And none of these morons in Hollywood will say it's an Arab-Muslim thing against a black Christian thing. They won't say a word. It's unbelievable to me how they won't say what it is. Arab Muslims trying to conquer the world. And if you actually try to confront these drugged up liberals on the issue of Islamofascism, they will say with a smirk, oh, it's all reactionary politics. There's no such thing as a threat of Islamofascism. It's the word of reactionaries trying to stir up war fever. These people are mentally ill and extremely dangerous. That's my opinion. And I know it's your opinion, by the way, by and large as well. Most of you agree with me. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts, one of my 370 affiliates, WRKO, in Boston. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Very simple. The reason why Bush is so bad is because the sheeple, and I'm a conservative, by the way, the sheeple are eating 3 square meals a day, and no cities have been destroyed. That's why people could care less that illegals are coming over the border and government's growing out of control. Hillary could be in power, and the sheeple still wouldn't care up in the Northeast, you see, especially in the Northeast. And you see,
well, not only that, but Hillary could be in power and start arresting people for political crimes, and the sheeple wouldn't say anything either. You know that as well, don't you?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And this has happened in history. You know, the Roman Empire, pre-Nazi Germany.
Yes, apathy. Yeah, yes, right. Pre-Nazi Germany. He started to put bread on the table. He started to put beer in the pubs. He started to put crowd in the pubs. And they didn't care if a few million people went to their slaughter.
I mean, just sing a little louder, you see. And this is what people don't realize. We have too many establishment types in power, and it's not the party. You have to put in a president or a congressman that will reduce the size of government that's pro-life, pro-traditional values, pro-Christianity, and that's it. That's a real believer. We don't have that today.
Well, I'm a Goldwater libertarian conservative type. Let's put it to you that way. If I had to identify myself with an existing or a pre-existing politician and time, it would be the Goldwater time. And Goldwater would have been a far better president than Kennedy, who defeated him. And Kennedy defeated him because of the trick of a lawyer named Meyer Feldman in Washington, D.C., who created the image of the girl with the daisy. Do you know any of that story?
Oh, yes. That girl with the daisy croaked Goldwater. Because the people had in their minds that Goldwater was a trigger-happy nut.
Correct. And Dr. Strangelove, who was going to bring about the end of the world, that was created by Meyer Feldman, according to his obituary in the papers when he died this year. He was a very brilliant, one of the most – I met him, by the way, and he was one of the most brilliant men I ever met in my life in terms of strategic thinking. But he was so brilliant that the Kennedy family used him to make up this campaign that destroyed Goldwater by painting him in a picture that he wasn't. That they smeared him, in other words. And as a result, we got JFK. I don't think the country's ever been the same since John F. Kennedy, by the way. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Big rigs from Mexico are going to roll across the American border without being stopped as early as this weekend. George Bush pulled another one without a vote. It's worse than the Dubai ports deal. There's no inspection. The drivers may be unlicensed. It's astounding to me what kind of shenanigans and the long-term effects that they're going to have that this man is getting away with. And I don't know how the Republicans consider themselves a party anymore. Denver, Colorado. Anna, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage. This is my first time I've ever heard you, and I'm very impressed. I've heard about you, but I just retired. And I would like to offer you to use maybe on a cover of your next book. I own a statue of an Arab on a horse by Barry. He's about 150 years old. He's a piece that I've talked to the Denver Art Museum, and they said, well, we own 2 Barrys. But he takes your breath away. You look at him and...
Oh, I know what Barry bronzes are like. My dad used to have an antique store. They're gorgeous.
Oh, well, he's... And Mr. Savage, there was only 100 of them made, and he's number 11.
Wow. Well, I don't know that I can accept such a gift. I might be willing to pay you for it.
But you use him as, you know, I kind of have some Arab blood in my family. I've married an Arab man. That's another story.
Well, no, they're wonderful statues. They really are. I thought you were going to offer me a statute of limitations.
He was known as, well, it wouldn't be limitations. It's just kind of a family heirloom. It took me like 2 years to pay him off.
Well, no, I wouldn't accept that from you. What would you assume it's worth?
I don't know. A friend of mine looked up some of his other work, and I think the lowest they go, if it's an original, is about $60,000.
Oh, my God.
Original. So I don't know, because Barry was known as I just know what I've found out in the last 6 months. He was an, and they call him an.
I don't know how to accept such a gift, Anna, but I'll tell you what, I'd be very interested. Do you have photographs you can email us?
You can find him. I found him, pictures of him on the
Well, okay, stay on the line. Get Anna's email address and communicate with her about this. I can't accept gifts on the air. There are certain things we can and cannot do in radio. I mean, I'd love the statue, but I'm not going to come up with $60,000 for a statue. By the way, I'm thinking of auctioning off the 65 Caddy convertible at long last. I haven't used it but once this summer. I don't have the garage space for it. It really runs great. And what I'd like to do is reserve a certain amount. I love this car. It's been in the family since 10 years now. It's got 54,000 miles on it. I may auction it off and give the difference between, let's say, what I decide to keep, which I'll announce in advance so you don't think I'm pulling the wool over your eyes, and the rest of the money I'm going to give in a fund to Colonel Chassani to help his family after he is exonerated. I think that's what I'm going to do with it, because there are other Marines as well that need our help. They don't come from families with money. None of their fathers live on the Upper East Side. None of their mothers were broadcasters. None of their mothers were in Hollywood. They're the heartland of America as opposed to the heartless of America. And they come from the heartland of America as opposed from the heartless of America. And they need our help. That's why they're being persecuted, is because none of their fathers are on the boards of directors of famous companies. None of them have media contacts. So I consider myself sort of their relative, their uncle. And I'm trying to help them. That's why we directed your money to them. I didn't take any of your donations. You see, a shady guy would have said, okay, send it to me and we'll take a clearing fee. I didn't want that. I gave you the direct address. You did it on your own. And as a result of the good lawyering that Mr. Chassani has got, I'm sure, I'm praying anyway, that he is exonerated. He wasn't even in Haditha. But after he is exonerated for what they did to this 19-year Marine veteran, a man with five children, homeschooling, Christian, that's why they're doing it to him. I'm positive that there's an anti-Christian element of this persecution, and I blame George Bush for it all. He is the commander-in-chief. He could have stopped this a year ago. He knew well enough this was a creation of Time Magazine, Mirtha and the Enemy, and yet he continues this? No, sir. You know, a commander-in-chief means I'm the commander-in-chief. These boys are my boys, and I'm going to act like their father. That's what a commander-in-chief is. You don't use a crocodile tears when you go to a hospital. What you do is you put your political career out there and you say, I'll take the heat for this because these guys are innocent. That's it. You want to argue with me? Argue with me. Leave these poor guys alone. He didn't do that. So I have to do it. And others in the media have done it. God bless them all. And you've done it. The listeners have done it. And that's the difference between good and evil. A good person does something. $10, I don't care what you sent. I don't care. So we're going to hear a lot more about it. But I mean, let me get back to the Cadillac. So if I do so, I'll do it after Labor Day. I'll put a picture up. And I think we'll run an auction I don't know how to do it, where the clock running, like an eBay thing, if we can set it up, where the dollars will be coming in after a certain amount. I'll let it run for a certain amount of time, and that'll be it. And you'll have to buy it sight unseen, and that'll be it. You can't sue me. It runs good. Perfect it isn't. It's not brand new. I'm reluctant to let it go. I don't have the garage space, and the money would be good for it. I had an offer, remember, $50,000 for it about a year ago. A guy wanted to give me $50 for it. I said, I need $25 for my costs, and any more I'll give away. The guy said, I'll give you $50. Then I withdrew the car because I started to feel it was too, you know, big part of the family, and I needed it. And I used this car has been used on the stage of a Michael Savage live performance at the Concord Pavilion. It was used in my son's campaign back in the 90s when he ran for state assembly. It's got lineage. It's got history. Is it perfect? No. But it's unbelievable. They don't make cars like that. I just don't have room for it. That's all. So we can go to the callers now. Whoa, what a country. God, every way you turn is another problem. The trucks rolling across America scare me. Because how could he get away with this? How could one man get away with this? With labor unions, the truckers didn't stop him. Congress didn't stop him. How does he get away with it? How can we have Mexican trucks running through this country that may have drugs, illegal aliens, other contraband, terrorists in them? How does this happen?
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now I want to go to Brian Rooney. He's the lawyer from the Thomas More Law Center who is defending the Marines who've been hung out to dry by their own government.
Well, Michael, we known for a long time, obviously all of your listeners have as well, that Congressman Murtha, from the very beginning, is the one who stirred this this whole mess along, said that the Marines had participated in cold-blooded murder, quote-unquote, and that the officers involved had covered it up, quote-unquote. And he can only be talking about our client, Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, and therefore we've had a strategy in place that we were going to fight the criminal allegations, and once we exonerate Colonel Chassani, we were going to take a hard look at suing Congressman Murtha for libel for what he said about our client and covering up an event that was not covered up. And that's where we're focused upon once we exonerate Colonel Chassani.
That's incredible.
Several different networks, MSNBC, ABC, and a couple others, Congressman Murtha said that the Marines involved in this case had killed the Iraqis in cold-blooded murder, and he said that their officers had participated in a cover-up. And the basis of our suit would be saying that Colonel Chassani had participated in a cover-up and then juxtaposed with the Marines being cold-blooded murderers before any investigation had been complete or any court-martials had been complete. And it's turning out that there was no cold-blooded murder. Three of the Marines have already been exonerated. A fourth is about to be exonerated. So the basis will be the libel. And congressmen usually enjoy protection about what they say, but if they say something where they step out of their role as a congressperson or congressman, then you can sue them for libel. And we believe that this had nothing to do with legislation, had everything to do with politics and getting reelected, and that's the basis of our lawsuit.
That is astounding.
Well, there's three houses involved in this case in Hadith on November 19th of 2005 where the Marines went into where they were being attacked from, that they responded to that attack, and they cleared those homes. The Marine that went into House 3, he was the first shooter to go. And the investigating officer in that case said that the Marine did everything proper in that house. Everything was within the rules of engagement. General Mattis took the investigating officer's recommendation to drop all charges and agreed with him and sent out a pretty stunning letter saying that this Marine was innocent in the eyes of America now and innocent in the eyes of General Mattis, which is quite a statement to say. Then in the same breath, General Mattis exonerated the battalion judge advocate, who was an officer, in the case, same charges that our client faces, dereliction of duty for not investigating and reporting properly. And General Mattis said, he was dropping the criminal charges against him as well, which, is interesting because this Marine is the one that advises Colonel Chassani on legal matters and what he is, should and shouldn't do. So that bodes well for us as well. Another Marine that was in House 1, where women and children were killed, and House 2, the investigating officer in that case just recommended dropping all charges against that Marine as well, saying he followed the rules of engagement, and he's well within the rules of engagement. So that leaves one person left, and that is Staff Sergeant Wooderich, the highest-ranking enlisted Marine involved in Houses 1, 2, and 3, and his Article 32 starts tomorrow. So if that goes well, then all you're left with is Colonel Chassani potentially being the only one going to a general court-martial for the perverse reasons of not investigating an event that never occurred. So we're hopeful that General Mattis will see this for what it is and not have this kind of Orwellian outcome where you have one officer going to a court-martial for something that never happened.
Right, exactly.
Right at the moment, the investigating officer in our case recommended a general court-martial for dereliction of duty for not reporting accurately enough and not investigating accurately enough the events that occurred on 19 November. And we've always contended that Colonel Chassani has reported everything he knew up the chain of command all the way up to the division commanding general level, who knew everything Colonel Chesani knew, and told him, good job, well done. And we've always said that he investigated this properly enough. So the investigating officer, not knowing what's going on with the enlisted Marines, recommended that we go to a general court-martial. Now, General Mattis, who makes the final decision on whether or not you do go to a general court-martial or not, has not made that decision yet. And with these shooters all being exonerated at their Article 32s, and in General Mattis's word, at least one of them being innocent in his eyes, it's becoming clear and clearer that what Colonel Chesani suspected happened on 19 November and what everybody else in the chain of command up through all the divisions suspected happened on 19 November did happen on 19 November. The Marines were attacked by Syrians and other insurgents, and the Marines responded to that attack and did so heroically. So, you know, we're hopeful that in the final analysis, General Mattis will do the right thing and recommend no criminal charges against our client as well.
Where is this leading us?
Well, we had a bifurcated proceeding, so ours went on longer than normal. But, it seems pretty clear that since these other shooter cases have been going on and the facts that have come out in the public and through these hearings are clear that these Marines acted properly, that I'm sure that the general does not want some kind of perverse outcome to occur where the only one going to a general court-martial is Lieutenant Colonel Chesani for, you know, basically not properly investigating an event that never occurred or a law of war violation that never occurred. And, nobody wants that to happen. So General Mattis, has been around for a long time, very well respected. So we're confident that he sees what's going on with these enlisted men and doesn't want something wrong to occur and wants to make the right decision.
This is unbelievable.
Well, Michael, Lieutenant Colonel Chesani and his family, you know, obviously have been through a very difficult ordeal, but Colonel Chesani, as you know, is a very faithful man, and so is his family. They're all very devout Christians, and they have faith in God, and they have faith in the system, and they believe that the system will exonerate them, whether it's now or whether it's at a general court-martial. This man who's served 19 years in the Marine Corps has faith in the Marine Corps, and he's very unflappable, and he has the utmost desire to clear his name, and his family's been obviously supporting him 100% from the beginning, but they all love the Marine Corps, and they just want the right thing to occur.
This is hard to believe that this is still going on. It can't be going on, but thanks for the update.
Well, Michael, we want to thank you again for everything you've done for the Thomas More Law Center, all these Marines, for bringing light onto this terrible situation. These Marines should be, you know, regarded as heroes instead of being labeled as massacres. And, you know, your audience has been supportive of the Law Center and Colonel Chesani. We can't thank you enough, and we still need that support. But, the light is at the end of the tunnel.
Savage.
Now, I got to tell you something. I want to go all the way back. You know, people in the beginning, when I took Colonel Chesani's side and the Marines at Aditha, because I studied it as best as I could. I read everything I could get out of this. When I saw what Murtha was doing, and when I saw that it was Tim McGurk of Time Magazine who had fed this to Murtha, I put two and two together and I said, politics, liberalism, they're going to crucify these guys. And I like to defend the underdog. Let me be very clear about it. And I did. But people said to me, Savage, what if it turns out they did massacre people? Aren't you going to look bad? I said, well, first of all, they didn't massacre people. It's a complete fabrication. I know that in my heart by what I've studied. And number two, even if they're found guilty by some fluke, I will have done the right thing because in our system of law, a man is innocent until proven guilty. And so I said, no, I'm not afraid to back them. You see, people said to me, oh, well, you shouldn't take, what do you got to gain, they said, in other words, by taking this unpopular case as your own. That's what people said to me. But I did so. Don't you understand that? I did so. And I pray, you know, with all of the people that have been found not guilty so far, that eventually Chesani is going to be exonerated. I will not rest until Murtha is besmirched as he should be and until Tim McGurk of Time Magazine is tried for whatever the appropriate charge is for doing this to our fighting men. This could undermine our entire military, if it hasn't already. I frankly don't know how anybody would enlist if they know what's been done to these men. And what kind of leadership, what kind of garbage do we have running the show? And I don't mean the guys down there in the field. I'm talking about the politicians. What kind of garbage do we have that they put on the little flag to go on TV, the little flag they all wear on the news shows, and they all go and cry over the coffins, the crocodile tears. But this is the kind of case that they should be fighting for, not the other junk that they make up. And so I got involved in it, and I gave $20,000 of my own money, and I'll keep repeating it till you hear me, because I'm proud of that. Maybe I should have given more. Well, maybe I will give more at the right time, and I will. But you gave a lot more. Like, I think it's $300,000 at least. And they're going to – see, if he had not had this fundraiser and we had not gotten the money through the Thomas More Law Center to defend this one man – and each of them had their own lawyers, by the way – I'm sure they would have been steamrolled by the U.S. military, because the government spent – had no budget, no limitations on their budget to crucify Chesani. The government said, we don't care how many people you have to hire or bring in, we want them burned. I know this from the Pendleton case. They built an entire building just for the press to come for the Stalinist show trials they were having against the U.S. Marines. This was done by our own military against its own fighting men. Just as the Soviets had show trials, we have had show trials under George Bush, and never forget it. And that is why I put my career out there, and it's why I put my money out there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't like the underdog going there alone to the gallows, so we helped him. And I want to thank you for helping him, and this is just the beginning. I'll be right back. Savage. You know, and I know, that the Marines are innocent. They're guilty of anything, it's of being patriotic. And, of course, to the vermin left-wing scum at the New York Times, that's the biggest crime you can commit. So here in the New York Times today, written by Paul von Zielbauer, Marines Trials and Iraq Killings Are Withering is the title. And the man is just besides himself, this idiot at the Times, saying that the prosecutions have faltered, that they have no one's been punished for Haditha. And he's really upset over it. It said the prosecutors were not able to prove even that the killings violated the American Military Code of Justice. Well, of course, sir, the reason they haven't been able to prove that is because it didn't happen. Now, a man like you, who has probably never fired a Daisy BB gun, would probably jump and call your psychiatrist if a car backfired as you were crossing Fifth Avenue. You don't understand what these men went through. But then, of course, you don't have to. You work for Pinchy Sulzberger at the New York Times. And so you'd like to see a few of the unwashed white trash from America hanging in the gallows, or at least ruined, so that you can tell your friends in the bathhouse all about it and how you helped do it. You're, after all, probably a friend of Tim McGurk of Time Magazine. I'm sure you're bosom buddies one way or the other, at least journalistically, if not categorically. And so you're really upset. And it goes on, it says, the sole officer to face criminal charges at Abu Ghraib, Iraq, was convicted Tuesday of only one minor charge. And you see, they're not happy that no one has been punished even more. Now, they don't focus on the enemy at all and what the enemy does to men, women, and children, what the enemy does to their own people. Instead, they focus on our men, and they're just upset because the Haditha case has not yielded a good, bloody end. Elizabeth Hillman, a legal historian who teaches military law at Rutgers, another one, another great patriot, said that it certainly erodes that sense that what they did was wrong, said Elizabeth Hillman, a legal historian who teaches military law, another one who would probably have to go for a box of Depends if a car backfired as she walked across the streets of Camden, New Jersey. But she's upset, too. She says, when the story broke, it seemed like we understood what happened. There didn't seem to be much doubt, but we didn't know. See? And then we have another one that they quote, Walter Huffman, a former Armory judge, that they quote. And they go on and on. And then eventually they probably get to Chisani somewhere. And here's Michael F. Noon, Jr., a retired Air Force lawyer and law professor at Catholic University of America, says, "We can't say those guys didn't commit a crime. We can only say that after investigation, there was not sufficient evidence to prosecute." Well, that's nice of you, Mr. Noon. You're a real stand-up guy, putting a knife in the back of men who were under fire. You're a great guy, Mr. Noon. So you see, there's a touch of evil everywhere you turn in this case. But then there's a touch of evil raging through the country and through the world, isn't there? Let's go to Los Angeles on a completely different topic. Z, 830 on the dial, my Los Angeles affiliate. Z, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. That's actually the first time I've called you doctor. I've called you many times and always referred to you as Michael. But you have really earned my respect. I've basically grown up listening to you my adult life. The last 10 years, I've listened to Dr. Michael Savage. And right now, I've basically been moved out of the middle class, and I'm in poverty right now. I'm one of those African-Americans who they claim does not want to work. None of the jobs that the illegal immigrants are working. I'm a construction worker. I'm certified. I'm licensed. And I cannot, I cannot get on the job site. And I have, you know, operators and contractors look me in the face and can see the pain and dilemma that they're going through. But bottom line, they want to make dollars. And if they can get somebody in there to work $30,000 a year instead of $50,000, that's what they're going to do. But they have no idea that they're actually killing, you know, our community. They're killing this country. And now,
so you're telling me that you show up at construction sites and the greedy contractors won't hire you, they'll hire illegals first?
Hire illegal immigrants first. And sometimes I park and sit and just watch for like 30, 40 minutes to see what happens.
Well, Z, not only that, but, you know, as one of the poorer Americans, your medical care is being stolen by illegal aliens. I have an interview with a doctor who was fired from Los Angeles Hospital because he actually said something about the gold-plated medical care that is being given to illegals that is being denied to poor Americans. They threw him out of the hospital. So there are many victims of this juggernaut being inflicted upon us by the elites of America and the elites of Mexico. How can we help you, Z?
I just really wanted to thank you because, you know, like I said, I'm a Muslim American, and I've always listened to you. You've always stood by your stance on terrorism and Islam, and it's a respectable stance that any decent human being would take. But my point is, I'm literally starving to death. I weigh 200
pounds. Well, I want to know how my audience can help you because I'll guarantee you as I sit here, you're gonna see what's going to happen. If there's a listener in Los Angeles who would like to give this young man a chance at the American dream, we're going to connect you up with Z, and Z, I guarantee your life's going to change today on this show. I know it, because I hear in your voice that you're a good person and you deserve more than you've been given. I hear it, Z. You're not asking for a handout. You're asking for a fishing rod, not a fish.
Been on welfare. I've always gone to school to better myself, and I was starting to go to a trucking school. I couldn't get on. You know, I need a class.
Oh, no. They wouldn't need you as a trucker. They need an illegal alien, perhaps, on a six-pack.
But now I'm hearing they're going to start letting illegal truckers just, you know, come in.
Oh, sure. Well, they work for less. It doesn't matter if the tires are bald and the driver may be on six bottles of tequila. What matters is that the greedy trucking owner can make a faster buck. This has to stop. Z, will you stay on the line? Because I'm going to put a call out right now to the audience. Is there anybody out there in the Los Angeles area, down all the way to San Diego, up perhaps to San Jose, who will hire Z and wants to call this show at 1-800-449-8255 and has a job to offer him? And it doesn't have to be in construction. Well, okay, right now not. But, Z, stay on the line because, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Z. We're going to take your, do we have a contact for Z? Get a contact for him, whether it be email or telephone. And if we get a good American calling this show who wants to employ this young man and give him faith in this country so that he doesn't become jaded and jaundiced and start hating the country, whether it be in construction or in driving or in whatever, we're going to connect up the two elements here because we like the underdog in the Savage Nation. We don't like the overdogs. And if you want to talk about this and other topics, we got another huge hour. I can't believe the show is flying by. It must be it must be something. It must be the tests.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One more big hour of the Savage Nation tonight, and I got to tell you, you know, the beauty of a show like this, as opposed to the television shows where there's the canned laughter and the stooges, the shills will tell you to laugh and whatnot, is that you can really do things on this show. Now, I know there are people with bigger audiences and they're more money, but, you know, have any of them put 10 cents behind any of these falsely accused Marines? Any of them? Have any of them put up 10 cents of their own money? I challenge you to tell me that any of them have. I hope they have. I hope they have. I hope one of them has done something other than pretend to be what they aren't. And we can move on. But if you read that New York Times article and you look at this Marine case, they are just besides themselves with rage that nobody has been found guilty. It's killing them that nobody's been found guilty. Marines' trials and Iraq killings go unpunished, are withering, says Paul von Zielbauer of the New York Times. August 30th, 2007. And listen to some of the language. I love some of this language because you see the stupidity and the hypocrisy. It says, if the legal problems that have thwarted the prosecutors in other cases are repeated this time, there is a possibility that no Marine will be convicted for what happened in Haditha. Now, let's analyze that sentence, so let's deconstruct it in more popular current parlance. If the legal problems that have thwarted the prosecutors... So let me see if I understand this correctly. If a child rapist or a drug dealer or a mass murderer is given 19 appeals, do they call them legal problems that keep this man alive, these filth in the New York Times? Or do they call them normal judicial appeals? They call them normal judicial appeals if it's the case of a drug dealer or a child rapist or a mass murderer. But if it's a U.S. Marine who was in combat, they call them legal problems that are thwarting the prosecutors, you see. And then they say no Marine will be convicted for what happened in Haditha when, in fact, nothing happened in Haditha. It was constructed by the enemy after a firefight, taken to Tim McGurk, who they knew was one of their friends. He was a fellow traveler. Tim McGurk is a writer for Time magazine with a long history in my analysis of being anti-military, who then took it to this Benedict Arnold, Murtha, who then took it to MSNBC and the other more snotty nonsense by chicks kind of channels, and the rest is history. And so you look at these guys, their lives are on the line. The top of the chain is Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chassani, battalion leader. See, I actually practice what I preach, and I believe that when I read this, if you save a single life, it is as though you have saved the entire world, has meaning. To me, this man's life, I don't know, the man, I never met him. I hope after this is all over I can raise money for him and his family after what they've been through. I don't know how this man can take this pressure, nor his wife, nor his children. But after his name is cleared, and Murtha is possibly in jail, and Tim McGurk is in jail, possibly, if they've committed a crime, I want to raise money for him and his children. And maybe I'll meet him at that time. Maybe we'll throw a dinner for him out here. Maybe we'll do a fundraiser. But Chassani was not even in Haditha. He was charged with a court-martial because he failed to direct a thorough investigation. Beneath him was Captain Randy Stone, a lawyer for the battalion. Charges dismissed, ruled that his actions, quote, did not rise to the level of criminal behavior. So the New York Times makes it sound like it was a big cover-up. You get it? See, this is Nixonism to them, to these filthy rats, these left-wing vermin in the newspaper business. There's no such thing as a good Marine, only an imprisoned Marine or a dead Marine. First Lieutenant Andrew A. Grayson, an intelligence officer. It says, claims he might not be eligible for prosecution because he was discharged. Marine Corps says it issued discharge papers in error. And they go on and on. See, they want someone to burn. Now, when it comes to a sexual deviant, child molester, rapist, murderer, illegal alien who runs someone over, there's no limit to how many appeals they're entitled to. But when it comes to the Marines, why? They're besides themselves in the New York Times because no one's been convicted yet. It's called legal problems. They call them legal problems. See, now it's that darn law again getting in the way of persecution and prosecution. So when I say liberalism is a mental disorder, you know, that's only half the truth. Liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. Now on to the callers on the Savage Nation. Any topic today is fair game except the hee-haw bathroom stall Irish potato jokes that I put out, like at the beginning of the show today. It wasn't Irish potatoes. It was Idaho potatoes. Excuse me. What's the difference between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? What's the difference between a procrastinator and Larry Craig? One stalls for time and the other has time for stalls. That kind of thing. What's the similarity between an Idaho potato and Larry Craig? They both give you the eye. It's not bad. I mean, if you would, let's say you're in a bar and you had a few drinks, these could become funny. And maybe we need some fun. I rode today, so I feel good. Rowing is a great exercise. I don't mean power rowing. I don't mean trying to win in a race. I mean a little plastic rowboat. I forget the name of it. It's made up in Washington. I have it for 10 years. It's still in good shape. It never rots. The next boat I get's going to have no wood on it. No more, thank you. No more wood trim. I'm going insane with the varnish people. You can go crazy from maintaining a boat with any wood on it. Boy, I have no idea. 18 coats, 20 coats, and a wind comes up, and all of a sudden there's like pimples in it because the dust blew on the varnish. I never saw anything. Who wants to live like this? I rowed, and I rowed, and I rowed. I've always loved rowing. I don't know why. What is it about rowing? Sometimes I make up stories to myself. Heave ye hearties. I make believe that I'm, you know, like off a pirate ship being rowing to shore in the South Pacific. Heave ye hearties. I sing songs to myself. All right, so I'm a little touched, so what are you going to do? What do you do when you do things? Don't you talk to yourself? My mother taught me when I was young, don't worry if you talk to yourself. She's only when you start answering are you in trouble. And she should have added only when you start answering out loud. That's when you're really in trouble. Everyone talks to themselves. That supercomputer between your ears, you know, is very complicated. And there are certain rules. There's a guidebook on how to use that computer that's longer than a Mercedes-Benz guidebook on how to use. You ever see those that came? Like maybe 500 pages, a book comes now with a new car. I never saw anything like it. My father bought a car. There was a radio, a heater, and windshield wipers. And an automatic, the Cadillacs in the 50s. You put it in reverse, it went in reverse. Neutral, drive, low. Maybe a 2 was added in 1956. That was it. Radio, heater, and that was it. Maybe a power window. You didn't need a book to drive a car. You have to call Stuttgart to raise a window now. Hello, Hans. Are you the service manager? Listen, I got a problem. The rear screen went up, but the window doesn't go down. And I pressed the button, and the water squirted in my eye. I never saw anything like these things. The cars are admittedly phenomenal that they're making today. But to operate them, you do need a pilot, and you have to be the navigator. But the world is so complicated on every level, isn't it? From the car to politics. It's no wonder people can get away with murder as they do in San Francisco. Here you have a city with an out-of-control homicide rate, murderers running around in the streets, gangs ruling the streets, drugs being dealt in the streets, and these rats, these vermin, have the audacity to condemn me in an official proclamation instead of a drug dealer or a pimp or a murderer. What does that tell you about the mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, any twosome Newsom? What does it tell you about him that he wouldn't stand up and say one word? Or what does it tell you about good people who go to church on Sunday and have the wafer put in their mouth and have the nerve to condemn their neighbor like this with false charges? What does it tell you that they let drug dealers roam freely, illegal aliens roam freely, pimps? They let pimps roam freely in the city. Dangerous criminals, but they condemn a man like me for standing up for the American way. What does it tell you about them? Well, it tells me an awful lot about them. It tells me that they're hypocrites, number one, but worse than that, that they're evil. Don't you understand that there is evil in the world? And evil, you could say, well, in history, we all know who evil was. We could say Hitler was evil, Stalin was evil, Mussolini was evil, Pol Pot was evil. We all understand what evil is on a grand scale. But, you know, it's the evil on a small scale that concerns me. It's the evil of a person who goes into a church on Sunday and takes the wafer and acts like they're holy. And they condemn their neighbor with false charges. And they pretend they're liberals when they try to kill free speech. That's evil, my friend. And I will not rest. I will not rest in the defense of myself until I get a letter of apology from each and every one of them. Peskin, that Stalinist fraud who walks around and marches around like he's some, you know, trade unionist from 1920 in Brooklyn, walking around like he's holier than everybody. And he wants to kill the First Amendment because he doesn't like what I say. What if I don't like what he says? So he has more power than me because he's a supervisor? So what? Might makes right? The good liberal? They're not liberals. Don't you understand that? A good liberal is a man who says, I may disagree with you, but I would fight for your right to say what you believe in. That's a liberal. That's why I gave the Freedom of Speech Award, and that's why I was given the Freedom of Speech Award, the highest award given by the talkers industry, in May. And I put out the DVD. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That a city would take a native boy like me. I've been here since 1974. I have written 25 books. I've been honored around the world. And these rats, these vermin who've done nothing in life but connive behind scenes and in toilets, taking money under the table, have the nerve to condemn me. I will defend my honor every day on this radio, and I will condemn them every day on the air for being fraudulent hypocrites. I don't care how many confessionals they go in. They stink to high heaven. And I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, many of you don't want to hear any more about what these illegitimi have done to me in this city, but I got to tell you something. I woke up 5 a.m. after these 2 cardiac tests, and I feel like I've been reborn. I'm going to defend my honor and my family name, and I'm going to expose them for what they are. I don't care how many wafers they take. I don't care how many priests give them a dispensation. I don't care how many rabbis spit on their fingers and tell them they're wonderful. I told you before, I have better DNA in my waste product than they all do in their bodies put together. I have done more for this world, more than 1,000 or 10,000 men have done in my writings and in my works. And these people have produced nothing but hate. These supervisors in the city have produced nothing but hate. In fact, if you go onto my website, michaelsavage.com, and you look up the proclamations that these fools have passed, you can laugh at them if you wish. You can laugh at them. It says San Francisco Board of Supervisors, questionable resolutions of late. And you see their pictures of these wonderful individuals all there posing as though they're something special, every one of them with numbers. And they have names. There's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Number 1 of those who condemned me was Michelle Alioto-Peer. Number 2 was Bevan Dufty. Number 3 was Aaron Peskin. Number 4 was Ed Jew, the only one who stood up for the First Amendment. I don't even know the man. Number 5 is the laughable clown, Tom Amiano. Number 6 is Jake McGoldrick. Number 7 is Sean Ellsbernd. Number 8 is Sophie Maxwell. Number 9 is Ross Mirakarimi. Number 10 is Chris Daly. And number 11 is Gerardo Sandoval himself. This is the San Francisco Board of Supervisors Hall of Shame. I will expose them on this show on a regular basis until I get a note of apology. Until they go in their churches or whatever house of worship they may go in or whatever bathhouse they go in. And one day they have a revelation that they have become evil, that they have succumbed to evil, and they are the embodiment of evil. They're not going to condemn this good man without me fighting back. They're not putting a cross on my back and making me walk down the street to my crucifixion. Not without me putting up a fight. And I got 10 million listeners around this country who now see their faces and know their names. And we'll find out at the end of the day who is shamed here, whether it's me or them. No, I'll tell you what evil is. Evil is easy to see when it's done on a gross scale. But evil on a small scale is kind of hard to see. Read the Bible. The Ten Commandments have a meaning. Thou shalt not make false witness against thy neighbor. So when I use sarcasm or satire in a radio show to express the views of most Americans about illegal aliens who want free citizenship after stealing an education, and they try to turn me into Genghis Khan, Hitler and Stalin put together, and in so doing besmirch my family name and my reputation, I'm going to fight them, and I'm going to fight them right here in the court of public opinion on this national radio program. They only speak to each other in a small band of degenerates in San Francisco. Nobody listens to them. Everyone laughs at them around the country. But my audience is national, maybe international. And one day, the day may come that I may ask for 100,000 people to appear outside City Hall. And I don't know when the day may come, but I may call upon you. You know, I may make this the thing that I go out into the public for. Because I'll be damned if I'm going to let them destroy my reputation or even chink it, because I am a good man and I've done good. And you tell me one person on that board of supervisors who's done anything good for anybody in this country. Name one thing any of them have done for anybody. Name one thing any of them have published that's of any value. Name one child helped by any of them. You see, you can't answer that question, can you? And so that's why I'm just frosted over this, and I have to keep doing it. It's just in my blood. It's in my blood to fight back. For if I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, then what am I? You see what I'm saying? That's how it works. Anyway, let's go to the callers. I'm sorry to use up so much valuable time on this, but I will not let this go. Honolulu, John was in Haditha. Thanks for calling, John. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mr. Savage, how are you?
Yes, sir.
I've just been listening to this for a long time now, going on and off, and I just feel compelled to stick up for the boys and the rest of the Marine Corps. And I just want to say...
Were you in Haditha?
Yes, I was.
Okay, the rules of engagement are clear. After being fired upon, you pursue the enemy. Isn't that true?
That's correct.
Correct. In other words, unless you're French, where you jump in the armored personnel carrier and run away from the scene, if you're an American Marine, you pursue the line of fire where it came from. And you clear the house, don't you? Isn't there a standard rule of engagement on how do you clear a house, John?
Well, the first thing you do is you'd stack up on the door. You'd have your point man go in, and your first two guys would clear the room.
Hold on, John. Stay on the line. He was in Haditha. And we're going to show you that liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder.
Savage.
Oh, God. Can I tell jokes for 30 minutes or something now? We could do the Idaho potato jokes. Hey, look, the world's a serious place. We're facing life and death here in this country, and the drugged-up liberals say that it's all reactionaries inventing the scare tactics of Islamofascism. You present them with the facts. You show the terrorism around the world. India, bombs going off Muslims. Thailand, Buddhists being killed Muslims. Wherever you look, it's radical Muslims against the world. They're open about it. They're open about it. And yet these psychopaths say that it's the right wing trying to stir up hatred and stirring war fever. These are the same people who would have said Hitler meant us no harm in World War II. He simply was a good German, reasserting Germany's rights to Poland and Czechoslovakia. And it's none of our business. And, of course, they wouldn't have called themselves liberals in those days, but today they've disguised themselves as progressives, liberals. It means nothing. You can call it anything you want. It's pure evil is what it is. Honolulu, John was in Haditha, John. So during an engagement, after you're fired upon because you're not French, you follow where the firing came from. The rule book says, as a Marine, you go in and you try to find the shooters, right?
That's correct.
And then you go in, and then what do you do? How do you clear a building?
Well, there's a ton of ways you can do it. There's a whole bunch of ways you can do it, but the basic gist of it is when you get your fire team up to the door, your first two men go scan the area for enemies, and you fire on any enemies that are in there. But if you're taking heavy fire from that room or that building, and it's too much to go in, and the threat is that one of your men could die, then it's okay to clear it out with some sort of explosive.
And that's where the civilians died, correct?
I guess so. Because I wasn't there, so...
Now, in World War II, they used a little more dramatic method of clearing an enemy stronghold. It was called aerial bombing. Day and night raids with B-24 squadrons, 1,000 planes in some cases, dropped bombs on German cities. I don't think any of the American airmen were tried for court-martial, then, do you?
I don't think so at all.
And I don't think that the commander-in-chief would have taken our men and put them in a hand-to-hand combat situation rather than using air power first. Because he was afraid of a little bad public relations either. You understand where I'm coming from, John?
I understand completely. And
if Bush doesn't have the political will or the political guts to lead the war, then what is he doing here as commander-in-chief? Then he should pull all the troops out and say, I give up. If he wants to win, then let him unleash the military in the two strongholds of hatred. And we know where they are. It's the Triangle of Death up in the Fallujah area, where they took our contractors, massacred them, set them on fire, and hung them from a bridge. And the Mahdi army down in the Sadr city. Suddenly he said he's disbanding them yesterday. Why is that man still breathing? Thanks, John. Yeah, I know, an armchair general. Thank God. Lucky for them, I'm an armchair general. Lucky for them, they have Mr. Peepers, the MBA, as the general. Nashville, Tennessee, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. Many years ago, a man wrote, who, if I cried out, would hear me from among the orders of the angels? The question is as changeless as the voice that asked it, the failure of an age or a man is not to hear it. Well, Dr. Savage, this is the age. You are the man and the voice. And God bless you, sir. We hear you. And we know you're exposing these Marxists as for what they are. And,
do you realize that these questionable supervisors, and they have names and they have pictures and they're on my website, passed resolutions condemning in the following way. Resolution urging Comcast to accept political advertising in support of medical marijuana. Resolution proclaiming that the San Francisco Lesbian Gay Freedom Band as the official band of the city and county of San Francisco. Resolution urging the U.S. Postmaster to issue a commemorative stamp for the homosexual Harvey Milk. Resolution urging President Bush not to deploy the National Guard along the United States-Mexico border. Resolution urging the FBI to send a well-publicized message to the immigrant community that the INS will not be pursued in immigrant communities. Resolution commending Tony somebody for his remarkable dedication to the San Francisco Gay Basketball League. Resolution urging Cardinal Lavada to withdraw his directive to Catholic charities forbidding the placement of children in need of adoption with homosexuals. Can you believe that these people are officials in a city in this day and age, Jerry?
No, I really can't. And to be truthful with you, I look at the history of my family. My grandmother's older brother was killed in World War I in France 2 days before the end of the war, and his great-great-nephew was killed in the Battle of Fallujah. And his name, the young man's name, was Jeremiah Savage from Livingston, Tennessee. And these people weren't fighting for scum like that. It just sickens me. It gets me so mad.
Jerry, you know, I woke up 4 a.m. and I started to get very angry over this. It went away for a while. Because I had the CT scan on Tuesday. I had the stress EKG yesterday, and I came up with a clean bill of health. And I feel like I'm 30 years younger, and I feel that there's like a new vigor is raging through my being. I'm not going to roll over to these people. They are evil. They are what evil is defined by, Jerry. This is what evil is. And yet they disguise themselves as progressives and liberals and pat themselves on the back. I will not stop until they send me a letter of apology. I will not have my name ruined by these scoundrels. And I will defend myself in the court of public opinion with good people like yourself, Jerry. The day may come that I ask people in some way to help me, and I haven't figured that out yet, but I will, whether it be 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people outside that city hall. And they'll find out what the power of the Savage Nation is. They'll find out they don't live in a vacuum. They'll find out that they're attached to the United States of America. They'll find out that not everybody is enchanted with their sickness. They'll find out that not everybody hates the Boy Scouts and the U.S. military and the Blue Angels and Michael Savage. They may find out that they are the last man out, not me. Thank you, my friend. I don't know where to go. I really don't know where to go right now on the show. You know, the Larry Craig thing is very upsetting because it's sickening, number one. I think he was set up. You know, he probably has a weakness in this area. He was set up by the Democrats. And the whole thing is very suspicious in that it didn't happen last week and it happened 4 months ago. And the reason it was released 2 days ago on my show, by the way, we were the first to get it, almost the first. It was, Thursday, like Monday night, I think. It was because it was released like a day before the scandal about Hillary Clinton accepting money from a felon came out. I'm positive that this is part of the DNC orchestration. They were holding this over Craig's head. Yes, he was foolish. He was weak. You can say anything you want. It doesn't matter. No one's supporting this kind of behavior if it's what he did. On the other hand, I have told you 1,000 times that Well, let's leave the sexuality out of it because it's really I don't even want to talk about that. Let's talk about the politics of the Larry Craig release. I believe that it's suspicious, at least, at the very least, that the Larry Craig bathroom bust was released a day or so before the Hillary Clinton money from Fugitive was released. I'm telling you, there's a relationship. I know how this thing works. I know how this thing works. And, of course, he showed very, very foolish behavior, degenerate behavior, if he really did it. But more than that, he showed stupidity in talking to this arresting cop, this decoy. He should have said, you know, I want a lawyer, and that would have been the end of it. I guarantee you we wouldn't have heard about it. And what worries me is that if Larry Craig is a U.S. senator, and he's one of 100, and these 100 stand between us and the Islamo-fascist hordes, I am very worried indeed. But then again, I'm not surprised to see that there's a man like this in the U.S. Senate. Are you? You think he's the only one who has a weakness? Now, maybe a weakness of this order is not that common, but there are weaknesses that we all have. Human foibles are well established. The DSM is filled with tens of thousands of them. We all have weaknesses and fears, and they can all be exploited. But wouldn't you expect more from one of 100 senators who are supposedly standing between us and the Islamo-fascist attempt to take over the world? I'm telling you, we're in real trouble. This is why the Mexicans are able to run over this country with virtual impunity. This is why trucks are rolling over this weekend from Mexico without any inspections. Nobody knows who the drivers are, nor what's in their trucks. We're not allowed to inspect them. This is astonishing. This is going on, that our senators like this is why it's happening. It's why it's happening, because they're all feathering their own nests. In essence, what a senator is today, by and large, not all of them, I can't give you numbers, but by and large, a senator is a super lobbyist. That's what they really fundamentally have become, if they haven't always been that way. They are a super lobbyist. They represent various interests, and you pay as you go in that field. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website, where you can go and see the gorillas. Who were killed in Africa. It'll break your heart. I guarantee you, if you love your dog, you'll cry when you look at the picture of the silverback gorilla laid out on wood with his hands and feet tied after he was slaughtered with the woman gorilla and the babies. Killed, slaughtered. 380 of them left, and they're being murdered because they want the forest to be burned down for the charcoal. You hear this? Now, the liberal would say, well, although the killing of the gorilla is something terrible, we don't want to increase the violence by sending in troops. It's a local thing, and if the locals want to sell charcoal, what right do we have to object? This is the mind of the liberal. Liberalism is a very dangerous mental disorder, and I don't think that there are enough wafers nor confessionals in the world to cure them. Now we got the big rigs from Mexico rolling across the border without being stopped as early as this weekend. Let's listen to 05.
Big rigs from Mexico could soon be roaming American highways as soon as this weekend. A controversial plan to let Mexican trucks carry cargo in the U.S. has been met by wide criticism from several groups who have sued in federal court to block the measure.
Now, how did this measure get passed? Is this a measure? Nobody actually passed the law saying Mexican trucks can come in and not be inspected. There's no measure here. Listen, for example, to the attorney for the truckers in 06.
It's really all about safety. There are numerous differences between trucking in Mexico and trucking in the U.S. that raise safety concerns. One is the age of Mexican trucks. Mexican trucks tend to be a lot older than U.S. trucks, and there's concern about whether they'll meet U.S. motor vehicle manufacturing safety standards, which they're required to do.
With no inspection, of course. You don't want to interrupt families coming in the back of a truck, because we believe in family reunification. And, of course, the best way to reunify illegal alien families is bring them in a truck that conveniently will not be inspected. Now, who's behind this? Who's behind this? I'd like to know who passed this law. Chris, KNEW, San Francisco. How do you feel about Mexican trucks coming into this country over the weekend without inspections?
I think it's terrible. I've been a truck driver for 22 years. And even the truckers that come in from Canada are sanctioned under the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Standards. So I would like to know who's allowing these truckers to come in from Mexico uninspected. I owned a truck for 4 years, and every single year, annually, I had to go through a rigorous DOT inspection You know, every 30 days I get drug tested. So,
all right, so why is it, what do you think is behind letting trucks and big rigs from Mexico across the border without being inspected? Who's behind this?
I'd like to know. I will do anything in my power to help anybody, because what he's doing now is he's discriminating against every single truck driver in the United States that has to go.
Wait, where is the truckers union on this? The truckers union is a very still a powerful union, isn't it?
The Teamsters union is extremely strong, and you know.
Well, where do the Teamsters stand on Mexican trucks coming into this country? I truly don't know what their position is, but we're going to look into it and see what they have to say. Listen to clip 08 now, the lawyer.
There's a question of the hours of service that truck drivers drive. In the U.S., there's a comprehensive scheme in place to regulate how long can drivers be behind the wheel before they have to take required rest, but there's no such scheme in place in Mexico, no real regulatory scheme.
Okay, now the last 09.
There's nothing to stop a Mexican driver from arriving at the border having driven for 12 hours and being exhausted. They are required to carry handwritten logs that show how long they've been driving in their recent history, but those types of handwritten logs are readily falsified.
So who's killing America is the question. Who is behind this? And the answer is can be found in so many different ways. Not the least of which is the fact that we have senators who go into toilets for trysts rather than paying attention to problems like this. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's another little story for you. United Nations, Reuters, Thursday. UN officials found vials of dangerous chemicals which had been removed from Iraq a decade ago in a UN building in New York. But UN officials said on Thursday there was no danger as they rushed off to the prostitutes and the restaurants on the east side for the long Labor Day weekend. Now, I added that last tail end to the sentence. The FBI was called in to help remove the substance. The material was phosgene, a chemical warfare agent. You hear in New York City. You hear this? The Iraqi weapons inspectors came across the material as they were closing their offices, which are housed in a building near the UN headquarters in Manhattan, said a spokesmouth for the inspectors. Phosgene was used extensively during World War I as a choking agent, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Of course, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They were in New York City. The liberals are right. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They were in New York. That's all. Right under our noses, sitting there in the UN. And they're running all over us. They're just laughing. A teen jailed over TB to face deportation. You saw that story, the picture of him smirking on MichaelSavage.com? Here's a Mexican teen with tuberculosis, and they're going to deport him. The Mexican day laborer jailed in Gwinnett County for refusing TB treatment is an illegal immigrant, and officials have begun the deportation process. Gwinnett Sheriff Butch Conway said Francisco Santos, and so on. You can read the rest of the story. But he's smirking because I think he smells a lawsuit. I think his controller in the ACLU, Marty or Marv, must have told him, don't worry, buddy, there's a big one in this. And in fact, after we win, we're going to have you come back as a health ambassador to the United States of America with tuberculosis. Gwinnett County officials jailed Santos Friday after he refused treatment for an active contagious case of TB and threatened to flee to his native Mexico. Santos, who lives in Duluth, has since started taking medicine. You know what that medicine must cost you? $70,000 to $100,000 a year. But that's okay. They work for $8 an hour. That's the important thing, is that they all come here to work. Some may have TB. As a matter of fact, tuberculosis is endemic in certain regions of Mexico. But don't tell that to the government officials. It's endemic in regions of Mexico. And by the way, in certain districts of San Francisco, the incidence of tuberculosis is higher than that of regions in Africa and Mexico where it is rampant, incidentally. But don't confuse the facts with reality. As long as the supervisors may be on medication, let's say for anxiety or depression, because they deserve to be anxious and depressed because of their behavior and their politics, they don't need to know what the actual epidemiological facts are. All they need to know is that they feel good saying that all immigrants come here to work and that they don't bring any diseases here and none of them are criminals. Federal immigration agents placed a detainer on the 17-year-old Santos, but he will be held in a deep... Because of Santos's age, officials would have to make sure before his return that he has family in Mexico, or that the Mexican government would take a role. Huh. Sure, they'll take a role. They want family reunification. They'll probably say that you have to bring the family in to take care of the poor sick teen, because he might get frightened in the evil Anglo-America. You see, that's how the game works. Anyway, take a look at it, read it, and weep. These are the stories that I found for your reading depression on michaelsavage.com over the weekend. Mystery at Goose Creek update. Federal grand jury investigates. You hear this story? There are two guys who were taking pictures of ferries, and they're of Muslim descent or Muslim religion, whatever. And naturally, they don't know who they are, where they went, why they were taking the pictures of the ferries. And immediately upon being notified that they were wanting DNA and hair samples in a certain case, the CAIR people said that it was racism. Andrew Savage, I swear, said in a phone interview Wednesday night that he had no indication why the samples were being sought from his client, Yousef Megahed. Now, who is Yousef Megahed? That was the guy who's from the University of South Florida who was jailed 4 weeks ago in South Carolina on explosives charges. You hear? Well, it's a very complicated story. And naturally, the lawyers are concerned that they may be may have been targeted simply because of racial reasons, not because they might be terrorists. And the important thing is not that we prevent another terrorist attack. The important thing is that people feel good about their liberalism. With God's will and your listenership, you'll continue to listen to this show, and I'll continue to be here for a good, good many years. And remember, there aren't enough wafers in San Francisco to wipe away the sins of all of the good practitioners. Seven.